Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and after talking about albums and singles in the digital age, we turn next to Imogen Heap. She's a poster child for how to have a music career in the digital age. The English singer's initial success came through word of mouth, which these days, of course, means a MySpace page and blog. Then came a series of songs on American TV, especially in the hit series The O.C. Now, the multiple Grammy-nominated singer and songwriter has a new album called Ellipse. The album's first single is called First Train Home, and Imogen Heap is here in our Soundcheck studio to play it for us live at our piano. Here with First Train Home is Imogen Heap.
Hello.
Bodies disengage, our mouths are fleshing over. Is this an echo game? Irises retreating to ovals of white. The urge to feel your face in blood rushing to paint my handprint. Frisbee one by one, your vinyl on laminate. I'm desperate for some kind of contact. First train home, I got to get on it. First train home, I got to get on it. First train home, I've got to get on it. Got to catch the first train home, I've got to get on it. First train home, I've got to get on it. First train home, I've got to get on it. First train home. Temporal dead zone where clocks are barely breathing. Yet no one cares to notice for all their yamming on. I climb up to hold it together. I want to play the waveforms in the hideaway. I want to get on with getting on with things. I want to run in fields, paint the kitchen, love someone. And I can't do any of that here, can I? First train home, I've got to get on it. First train home, I've got to get on it. First train home, I've got to get on it. Got to catch the first train home, I've got to get on it. First train home, I've got to get on it. First train home, I've got to get on it. First train home. So you've had one too many. So I'm not that much fun to be with. So you've got a silly hat on. So I didn't want to come here anyway. Doesn't matter to me. What matters to me? It doesn't matter to you. What matters to you? It doesn't matter to them. What matters to them? It doesn't change anything.
Imogen Heap, live at our piano in our Soundcheck studio. That is the new single from her new record called Ellipse, which is out today. The single, of course, very different sound on the record, Imogen.
Yes, but it was a special version just for you.
It was beautiful. When you strip away all the production, you're left with the song.
Yeah.
And the song has to stand or fall on its own feet.
Absolutely, yeah.
This is the single. Ellipse is the record. We've spent the first half of the show debating, what's the future of music? Is it in the album or the single?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, I mean, today being my album launch, of course, I have to stick up for the album. But I definitely feel, as an artist, I'm really struggling with this whole kind of spending, for me, especially it takes a very long time for me to make a record because it's just me on my own in the studio for a year. And I really feel very detached from this world that I'm meant to be writing about when I'm in there doing my record, because I can't seem to exist both being social and kind of personal in the studio at the same time. And I really feel like Ellipse is the last album that I'm going to be doing in that fashion. It just feels wrong in this day and age where things can be released instantly. And sometimes you're living with a song for 4 years that you wrote 4 years ago, and then you still have to kind of believe in it and be a part of it even 4 years later when you're out touring it. And so I think that they can coexist. I think what I'm going to do with my next album is kind of the same kind of Radiohead thing, but instead of treating them as just singular entities, one at a time over the course of the rest of my life, I do think there is still very much a place for albums, because, I look back on my past career and I wrote very different songs, when I was 17, 18, 19, and they exist as a body of work together. And now, continually, I'll hopefully keep progressing. And my record, my songs will sound very different over the years, and I want to collect them together. But over the course of 4 years of releasing one every 3 months, put it out straight away as soon as I've done it, and then collect an album together and tie them together.
Well, and the single has been a huge boost for your career. I mean, single songs, individual tracks released to shows like, The O.C. and to films like Garden State, your collaboration with the band Frou Frou, the Narnia movies and stuff. I mean, these are single tracks. Do you think of those as kind of standalone pieces for specific projects?
I think actually what's great about, the fact that we can now kind of listen, try before we buy, is that it does give this fantastic open creative space that we're not limited to just having one or two or three, singles that we have to write for radio for the hit that's going to launch the album. Because there is this open listening capability, people can listen to the songs. That kind of idea of a single isn't really existent anymore. It doesn't really make sense because you can have a song in a film, you can have Let Go was never planned to be a single for Frou Frou, but perhaps it should have been, mm-hmm. But it was in this movie, and you have many possibilities now.
So it becomes a single almost by definition, almost in retrospect, because it's a single track that people have, and people buy that Garden State soundtrack, and it's the one track by Frou Frou that they have, or they buy that 6 Feet Under soundtrack, and you have a single track on it.
Yeah.
So I guess you begin to have to, change your definitions of what singles are, just as we were talking before about the changing definition of the album.
Yeah.
How is it working with film? I mean, you've talked about on your website wanting to do soundtracks. I mean, that's a big format. That's a big canvas to paint on.
Yeah, film score
as opposed to doing a song, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, very much so. When I was a little girl, that's what I really wanted to do. I wanted to travel around the world with my own personal orchestra and my own personal, maybe now solar-powered plane, and go around the world doing that. And maybe I'll eventually end up doing that. Who knows? But yeah, definitely the instrumental compositional arrangement side of things, I'd really love to still get into. But it's not just that. I want to write for dance music. I want to write for theatre. There's so much more I want to do, which now I feel like I have this, I have 4 albums now, which I love and I've done. But I feel like I want to do more now. So this is also another reason for not doing, sitting in my studio for a year doing a record and then spending the next 3 years just promoting that. I feel like that's one side of me, and I really want to do, maybe 1 month I'll do a score for a film, or maybe that's a bit optimistic, maybe 3 months do a score for a film, produce somebody else's album in a couple of months, and then release one of my own. And this way it just feels... It's hard to live with a song for so long, and then after 4 years, have it out. I feel like I want them out already, out of me, out doing their thing and having a little journey of their own, and then later, piece them together.
So when you do come back to some of those older songs, those older records, do they seem like the work of someone else? Do you think, wow, that's that's where I was back then?
Yeah, sometimes they do. And I forget most of the things that went on in the studio that, I've spent hours and hours and hours noodling over every single tiny little detail that I would never be able to hear in 10 years' time. And I've forgotten everything that I've done. But as a body of work, it works. But I look at my old records more as old photographs of myself that I'm kind of a little bit embarrassed, but kind of like, oh, you know, that's me. That was what I was like when I was 17. And I can't throw away that one piece of clothing, you know, that's still in the back of my wardrobe because it reminds me of a boyfriend or something, you know. And that's how I feel about my albums.
We're speaking with Imogen Heap. Her new album is out today. It's called Ellipse. We've already heard an acoustic version of the single called First Train Home. Last song on the record, called Half-Life, is actually much closer to what you're about to do here in the studio.
Yes, it is, yeah.
I mean, you've got string orchestra coming in later in the song, but so this, you know, sort of rearranging or dearranging this song down to just you and the piano, a little less work, I would think, than First Train Home.
Yeah, this is more as it is on the record, yeah.
Half-Life is the name of the song. Imogen Heap performing live for us here in our soundcheck studio.
I knew that I'd get like this again. That's why I try to keep at bay. Be 100% when I'm with you, and then the perfect heart's length away. The stickler is you've played not one beat wrong. You never promised me anything. Even sat me down, just how they fall. I knew the odds were I'd never win, yet here I am. So half-life, with you as my quarterback, a daft life, my self-worth measured in text back tempo. It's been 2 days, and 8 minutes too slow. There may well be others, but I'd still like to pretend I'm the one you really want to grow old with. Got a schedule to stick to, got a world to keep sweet. You're so much to everyone all the time. Will you ever slow down? Will I ever come first? Universe contracts to size. Does it even register on your conscience? Long for one last showdown from a box in a crowd, air compressed tight to explode. I'm clenching my ticket to the only way out is you disappear in a puff of smoke.
Once again, Imogen Heap, the English singer, songwriter, pianist, producer, my guest on Soundcheck, performing live at Our Piano, and another song from her album Ellipse, which is out today. This is called Half Life. You started as a classically trained pianist, right?
I did, yes. I did indeed. Well, kind of. I learnt grades at school. I was never going to be, concert pianist, I don't think. Well, maybe if I practiced more. But what I was quite enjoying as a kid was not really the stuff of playing other people's stuff. I didn't really enjoy that. I kind of had to do that. But what I liked doing was having a piece of Debussy or something and start playing something. And then in the kitchen, my mum would be in the kitchen. And I'd play things that I think that she would have thought would still have been Debussy. But actually, I was just improvising. So
you would start with the classics and just see where it took you.
Yeah.
Any remnants of those days in the fact that, I mean, there's an almost orchestral quality to a lot of your songs. And even if the orchestra is just layers of your voice, there is that sense of orchestration.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't see, like, the voice as this kind of one thing that's kind of sellotaped on top of all the rest of this music underneath it. I really see it as something that weaves in and out of the music itself. And sometimes a bass line, I do have some linear bass lines, I guess, that go all the way through, but mostly I like it when, you know, there's this question and answer between different sounds and textures. And maybe that does come from me, being, a young girl and learning the cello and learning the clarinet and learning about harmony and counterpoint and orchestration, in school. I really did enjoy that side of thing, and I love being a part of an orchestra. And so I think I do take that into the studio with me, yeah.
And when you were a kid learning all these instruments and counterpoint and theory and stuff, were you also listening to pop music at the same time?
Not so much, but I did love Michael Jackson. I did indeed.
Adam from Staten Island has a question for you. He writes that Imogen has truly become a pioneer in using technology to connect with her fans. While she frequently collaborates with other artists, one gets the sense she prefers to go it alone with regard to production. How much of this attitude was influenced by her experience surrounding her first album?
we should
explain the first album.
What happened in the first album was I recorded that one between kind of 17 and 20, and I worked with three different producers. And I really enjoyed working with each and every one of them. They're very different in all of their own rights. Guy Sigsworth, who I later ended up being in Frou Frou with, is very much has a sound of his own. And actually, I didn't feel at the time when I was 17 I wanted to work with somebody like Guy, because he was so overpowering musically that I felt like I needed to learn a bit more about my own sound. So I chose producers where they're more helped me kind of bring out my own natural sound, my own sound. I did more stuff with these other guys. But then when I worked with Guy with Frou Frou, I was kind of a force of my own in the studio, so I felt like I could battle it out with him and feel pretty confident in that. And then I learned so much from Guy, working with him. It was really fantastic. And I just felt, technology's moved on so much, and I didn't have to have a big desk and have like me and the T-boy and five other people kind of attached to the faders to try and do all the complicated moves I wanted to happen in the studio. I can now do it in the quiet of my own home. And
so technology's made it possible for you to go at your by yourself.
Absolutely, yeah. It's amazing. And even just in the last, two or three years, what's happened in technology as far as kind of going on. That's quite distracting. It's me.
There's you talking over you singing. Yeah.
Weird. I'm going to take the headphones off. Yeah, so I've lost my thread now, sorry.
Well, we were wrapping up anyway.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, the technology has made it possible.
Yes,
and the results are on MySpace and now in the stores. Ellipse is the record. It's streaming at your MySpace page, and it's out today. And the song called Bad Body Double in the background is also from the new record, and a little bit of a different sound from the things you've been playing for us here in the studio.
Yes.
Imogen, thank you so much for joining us. We'll look for you late November here in New York on tour.
That's right. Yeah.
And that'll do it for Soundcheck today. Tomorrow, the audience for jazz is shrinking and growing older fast, according to one music critic. His words have set off a heated discussion in jazz circles, and we'll debate whether America's great art form can be saved. Also tomorrow, live music from the eclectic guitarist Smokey Hormel. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. The program produced by Brian Wise and Joel Meyer. Our executive producer is Gisele Regatau. And we had help today from Nandini Balial. I'm John Schaefer. See, you've got someone quite nice.